Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
So good to be here tonight. I know it's a little stormy out there, but we can't let that stop us. Praise God. Well, we are going to open with a prayer here tonight before we get into this worship service. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, thanking thee for thy goodness, thanking thee that thou hast brought us here safely. And I pray, O God, that thy presence would be here tonight. I pray that thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us as we seek to serve thee to the best of our ability, as we reach out to thee, as we worship thee in spirit and in truth. Inspire us, O God, to truly give thee our hearts tonight. And I pray that all we do here this night will be done according to thy perfect plan and thy perfect will. Be with us and help us, I pray. And I ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to start with number 143 in the chorus book here tonight. We have come into this house, number 143. We have come into this house, gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into this house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into this house and gathered in his name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Jesus Christ the Lord. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in him and worship him. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in him and worship him. Christ the Lord. So Well, why don't we now go to number 141? It's easy and conveniently right on the same page. So let's sing Heavenly Father, I Appreciate You, number 141. Heavenly Father, I appreciate You. Us tonight, and when you get in the presence of the Lord and you start worshiping the Lord, everything else fades away, doesn't it? Everything else, the things of this earth, they grow strangely dim. So let's go to number 128 and sing Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, number 128. Jesus.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Well, you know, there's a chorus that I just noticed it looking across the page. We haven't sang this one in a long, long time, but it's a wonderful chorus. You know, when you get in the presence of God and sometimes you're just all alone with Him, and that's a wonderful thing too. Why don't we go to number 125 and sing Shut In With God, number 125.
Shut in with God.
Quite a night. We're here, we're in this building, and we have that backdrop of that constant thunder and lightning, and it must be quite a storm going on out there. But you know, when you're in the hands of God, He does keep His people safe. And there's a chorus that I just thought of just now. I believe it's number 55. Safe Am I, number 55. Why don't we go there now?
Safe am I in the hollow of His hand. Sheltered more, with His love stronger.
Just keeps coming, doesn't it? But I know we are safe here in the Lord. Praise God. Well, I think what we're going to do now is take up the collection. Matt, would you help us with that, please? Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee, O God, for Thy promises to us, for Thy sustaining power which has kept us, for all that Thou hast done. For we know it is only by Thy mercy and Thy grace that we can be here this night. And we are so thankful that Thou hast kept us. And we are believing in Thee, believing that Thou wilt continue to lead us and direct us in all things. Continue, O God, to give us wisdom on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose, for Thy glory. Give us wisdom in everything we do. Help us, O God, to reach the lost. Help us, O God, to be a shining witness of Thee and Thy greatness in this dark and dying world. And I pray, O God, that Thou would bless the givers here this night, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we do have a prayer request here. It says, pray for Sarah and Anthony. That would be my sister and her little boy. Apparently, it says, lightning must have hit the apartment building they're in, and there's smoke on the second floor. They're waiting for the fire department, so we're going to pray for them right now.
She just texted me. They're
okay?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, praise the Lord. They're safe. Glory to God. Well, in that case, we are going to go to our hymnal and sing one more song. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And I think the number I'm thinking of is number 294. Praise God. You know, sometimes prayers are answered before you can even pray. Praise God. But number 294 in the hymnal, Victory in Jesus. With His redeeming blood, He loved. That victory for us, because we couldn't do it in and of ourselves. We need Jesus, praise God. But thankfully, he went to that cross. He was victorious over sin, over death, over hell. He rose from that grave and he won that victory for us, praise God. Well, we are going to turn this over to Shirley tonight and see what the Lord has laid on her heart. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
That is quite a backdrop, I must say. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise our God. We serve a wonderful God. Amen. And you know, everything is in His hands. Let's spite of what it looks like on the surface, oh, we serve a mighty God. And, you know, those little whispered prayers that we sometimes do, sometimes that's all the time we have. But praise the Lord, God hears. Oh, praise the Lord. And I'm so glad we're here tonight. I know the Lord knows how to keep us safe. I know He knows how to arrest the storm when it's time for it to be over, when it's done whatever the Lord has designed it to do. But here we are tonight, and we can praise Him and worship Him and know that He is here with us. Praise the Lord. And I'm just thankful. I'm thankful that the fire there in Sarah's apartment, she lives one of those tall places with lots of floors and lots of people. So I thank God she's all right. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you again that we can come before you again here tonight, Lord, knowing, oh Lord, that you have all the answers, and knowing that your care for us is beyond that which we can imagine, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that you've watched over us. And, oh, Lord, you've called us here to this place tonight, Lord. We wouldn't be here except that thou hast had mercy on us. Thou hast shown us, oh, Lord, the things that we needed to see and understand. I pray, oh, Lord, that you'd open up your word to us tonight, Lord. I pray that you would move in our hearts. And, oh, Lord, that you'd change us and get us to that place we need to be in you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, that, oh, God, we can have faith, oh, Lord, to quench all the fiery darts that come at us, Lord. Faith to withstand, oh, Lord, the attacks of the enemy, Lord, the wiles of the devil, Lord. I pray that you be here, Lord, and speak to our souls. And, oh, Lord, we give this service to you, Lord, asking you to bind the strong man in every offensive thing, oh, Lord. Oh, God, every thought that would not be submissive to thee, Lord. But, oh, God, be here in Jesus' name. Speak to our hearts and help us, Lord, that we might be right in your sight, oh, Lord, and looking for thy coming. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Have your way, Lord, oh, God. Use this message, I ask, for your name's sake and glory. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise our God. We talked about the power of prayer last Wednesday night, and I really had nearly finished what I had planned to say, and I just think, wow, we could have another week of it and see how the Lord leads us. But prayer, that heart-to-heart talk with the Lord, you know, it's wonderful to spend that time with Him in the secret place when His presence comes down and, you know, we meet with Him and we sup with Him, just as Jacob, oh yes, when, you know, the Lord met with him and he saw that ladder, the angels of the Lord coming up and down that ladder, and he knew that the presence of the Lord was in that place. He had perceived it when he went to bed that night, when he was falling asleep. He didn't know how close he was to the presence of the Lord, but praise the Lord, God showed himself to him that night, and it changed him. I believe Jacob was never the same after that moment. Thank God we get into that place where his presence is. And he begins to change us so that we don't have to be the same, that we can have faith to go forward and faith to withstand the attacks of the enemy. But, you know, the ability to know and rightly discern that which is right and that which is wrong, and to live for the Lord, all those things that we need in this world that is so contrary. Amen. The need to pray, the need for prayer, it's very heavy upon us. Oh, that prayer that can change mountains. And, you know, it's no wonder. We consider the 11th chapter of Luke, and I'm going there now. But there was a question that Jesus was asked. And and it was, you know, those that knew him well, one of his disciples, came to him and said, you look at chapter 11 here in Luke, and the first verse tells us, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And we note that example, Jesus was frequently in prayer. And, you know, there's references to him praying all night at certain times. And, you know, here is another example. He was in a certain place, and one of his disciples was observing his prayer. And when he had stopped, when he had ceased, one of them asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples." So Jesus began to give them a form that they could pray with and use as an example. It says in verse 2, "And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth." So he's telling us that when we begin to pray, that we address our Father which is in heaven, and we ask that his name would be blessed and hallowed and magnified and all of that. We praise and worship the Lord as we begin our prayer, and then the need to ask that the will of God would be done. As it is in heaven, so be it on earth. And you know, oh wow, the things that are going on in this earth right now, that tempest is roaring. Oh, there are things that could come upon this earth very readily that none of us would look forward to by any means. But there is an Almighty God who sees beyond all of that and goes beyond the decisions of mortal man and supersedes it, all of that, so that his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. So that should be part of our prayer as we make supplication to our Lord and Savior. And then verse 3 here in this scripture simply says, "Give us day by day our daily bread." And there, you know, it's the need to just pray for the things that we have need of. Those normal, everyday things, the necessities of life. And the Lord knows those things that we have need of before we even begin to ask him. But he bids us to come and ask him for those things that we have need of. Just as he gives this example here in verse 3, "Give us day by day our daily bread." Surely we know it's the Lord who provides us with all these things. You know, without him, oh my, there wouldn't be much at all. There wouldn't be anything. Life would be hopeless. And oh, what would we have to look forward to? But we have a Lord, the Almighty One who sends the rain. Oh yes, and it falls on the unjust as well as the just. You know, and the Lord makes it to bring forth and give rain in its seasons, or snow if it's winter time, so that the earth can bring forth and our needs can be provided for. And then in verse 4 it says, "And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us." And that need to pray for forgiveness. Oh wow, certainly first of all ourselves for our own sins as individuals, but then it also says, "For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us." And then it says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And of course, this format for prayer was also given in the 6th chapter of Matthew. And I want to go there because Jesus said a little bit more than which is given us here in Luke 11. So if we could turn to Matthew, the 6th chapter. And if you look at verse 9, here we also have this answer that Jesus is giving. And of course, we know, obviously, somebody asked him, you know, to teach us to pray. So here in verse 9, he begins also, "After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So there's a little bit more of a conclusion added to this prayer here in Matthew, the 6th chapter, and just ending it, giving all the glory, the praise unto our Lord, acknowledging that all of it is His, the kingdom, the power, the glory. It's His forever and ever. And we are the ones that submit ourselves under the mighty hand of God and humble ourselves in that way. But also in this chapter, if we look at verse 5, he had a little bit more to say about prayer. So looking at verse 5 here, Matthew 6, it says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have the reward." And he's talking about the Pharisees in his day and age, and not that things have changed all that much in this time period, but there were those that were praying so that they would be esteemed a man and acknowledged and, you know, thought worthy of being some holy person, I suppose. And they would make a show of themselves and a pretense. But notice, Jesus called them hypocrites. And he told us very clearly that we're not to be like this. Oh, we're never to pray just to be seen or to be heard of man. But instead it tells us in verse 6, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." I thank God we sang that song about finding the Lord in that secret place, you know, and there's nothing like those times when we get away to be with the Lord. Oh yes, and it isn't going to necessarily be a closet, but he's contrasting it to the way the Pharisees would pray, the hypocrites would pray. They would pray to be seen of men, but rather it's our time to be with the Lord. So we find this place where we can pour out our heart unto our God and know that even though, you know, there may be nobody around, that He is there to hear our petitions, to see our needs, to hear the cry of our heart. And praise the Lord, we pray to our Father which is in secret, which is in heaven, and He sees us, He hears us, He cares for us, and there's a reward that comes because the heart is right with the Lord and the motives are right. And there's a need that we're pouring out to God. And thank the Lord, you know, that talk with the Lord. You know, I think so often how privileged we are to go before the Creator of this universe, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I mean, you go before any other authority if you want an audience. Wow, all the protocol that you'd have to go through in order to attain that privilege. And it might not happen. You know, they might reject such a, you know, an ask, you know, that you would go before their presence or talk with them in person. It might not be granted at all. But time after time, moment after moment, we go before the Lord. And it doesn't matter if it's morning, afternoon, or evening, during the night hours, whatever, all, we can pour out our hearts before the Lord. Each as individuals, even at the same time, it could be the Lord hears us all. The Lord cares for each and every one of us. And He knows how to intervene and how to bring about the changes that are needed in our lives, in the lives of our loved ones. He hears those things which we pour out before Him. Then it tells us in verse 7, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. And we know that there are people, there's a church, a Catholic institution that will repeat the Lord's Prayer again and again and again. And you know what happens after a while? If it isn't prayed from the heart, if it isn't prayed in faith, it becomes vain repetition. And that's what the heathen do. That's exactly what the Lord Jesus called these people that pray, that chant, or, you know, that pray the rosary and you know, over and over again, and think because they've said it so many times that they're going to be heard for their much speaking. But praise the Lord. No, prayer is just a simple talk with the Lord, something from the heart, not put on, you know, not you know, something memorized and, you know, after the manner of somebody else. But the Lord puts it within us, and we can bring out those petitions before God, knowing that He will hear and understand and change the things that need to be changed. Oh, bring the answers that need to be brought out. And that is a privilege, that is an honor, that we can go before God again. Oh, at any time. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. We could be driving in our car and talking to the Lord. Oh, yes. We could be sitting at the kitchen table doing the dishes or whatever, all and talking to the Lord and knowing, oh, yes, that He's hearing and that He's caring. And I think it's, oh, it's a wonderful thing. Again, I'm thinking of Psalm 66. Oh, as the psalmist was declaring in verse 16, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul. Oh, yes, we have a testimony of the good things that God has done. You know, I was talking to Sister Barb before the service, and we were talking about some of the wonders that God has done, the witnesses that we have of the power of God and the answers to prayer and things that truly are miracles that He has done in our lives. Well, Sister Barbara was telling, we were thinking of that experience when she had a deer coming at her as she was driving in her car, and it was so close that she could see the eyes of the creature, and she thought for sure somehow it was going to smash into her car, and she was just praying that, you know, she would be safe and God would help her. And praise the Lord, the deer disappeared. It just disappeared. It had to be the hand of the Lord. And so many times, you know, there are those miracles that the Lord does for us. She's speaking of her son who was traveling down a road, a highway, and it was a storm, and there, you know, there were problems in the road, and he knew he had to get over, but there was no way. There were cars all over the place, and they were hitting one another and all this and that. But somehow the Lord got him over into a safe place, and it went well for him. You know, that's the hand of the Lord and the miracles that He does for His people. I think we all have those miracles, those stories that He's done for us, how He has kept us in this troublesome world. But the psalmist was saying, I cried unto Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue. And, you know, sometimes all we can do is say, Jesus. You know, the problem is coming at us so quickly and so fiercely that, you know, there isn't a whole lot of time. But here the psalmist, oh, yes, there was something that was heavy in his heart. There was a burden. There was a need. So he cried unto Him with his mouth. And he was extolled. Oh, he was honored. He was worshipped with the tongue. I think it got a little bit noisy as the psalmist was bringing his petition, his need before the Almighty One. And then he says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Oh, the things that keep us away from God, the terrible old sin that people sometimes just think as normal and don't try to acknowledge and repent of, get rid of those dreadful things in the heart. But here it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But the psalmist could go on to say, but verily, of a truth, God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. You know, there's something about it when you can cry out with your voice, when you can make it known. It just seems like it has all that more strength. And the psalmist is saying, verily, God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. And praise the Lord, we can always rejoice that God does hear our prayers. Things begin to change, and the answers do come when we seek his face. But as it tells us back here in Matthew, the 6th chapter, we are not to use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Oh no, that's not the way to approach God. Though people do it in their ignorance so often, but here the command is not to do such. But thank the Lord, we can pray with our heart. He gave us a form, a format to follow. Verse 8 says, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Oh, the wonder of it all. You know, there's times when, you know, there may be bills that need to be paid, and it seems like there's no money for such bills. But God knows how to make a way. You know, sometimes there are serious illnesses in our lives, and, you know, there may seem like there's no answers, but praise the Lord, there is a great physician who made us, who created us from the dust of the earth. And believe me, he does know how to fix us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord if we can just trust him and accept his loving kindness and his goodness. Oh, and his great ability to be there for his people. But as we pray, there is an emphasis in this chapter. As it tells us in verse 14, to forgive. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But then verse 15 says, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. All the things that separate us from God. Unforgiveness can certainly be one of those things that keep us away from God. And oh, improper prayers, you know, sin in the heart, sin that's not given over to the Lord, these things can keep us from Almighty God and keep his face from shining upon our souls and our needs. But praise the Lord, he told us here the need to forgive. Praise the Lord. Let's go to 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter here. 1 Timothy, I'm going to read verse 1 and 2 and 3. It tells us here, verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And Paul, of course, is writing this letter to Timothy. And it tells us in verse 2, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So here we have just a little more insight into our need to make supplications, which are earnest, humble petitions that we bring before the Lord, requests that come from the heart. So here, he's exhorting us. He's teaching us that, first of all, we need to make supplications. And then he says prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks. They're all forms of prayer. And he tells us to be made for all men. And then specifically he names kings and those that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And I'll tell you what, we are living in a time that's very troublesome in many ways. And I know I was proofreading the newsletter today, and I know Brother Samuel writes about some of the things that have been going on in this country. I'll tell you what, we are in trouble. You know, one organization ranks countries according to how they assess them as being a peaceful place to live. And, you know, you'd kind of think maybe we'd rank kind of high among all the nations of the world. But they've been lowering us all the time, it seems. And I think the rank was 114th of all the countries of this world as far as how they saw us, you know, as being peaceable in this land. And, you know, I'll tell you what, there's all kinds of dirty talk and nasty things. You know, back in May, I believe it was the end part of May, this comedian, and I don't know a thing about her, except what now I've heard, but her name is Kathy Griffin, and you know, there was a photo that came out where she was holding what looked like a decapitated head, bloody and all, and it resembled that of the president. And I'll tell you what, thank God there was a cry that came out, and she had to apologize for that very abhorring photo. But people are daring and bold, and their hearts are evil. You can just tell from the things they say and do that they're nasty in the inside. There was a rap singer, and again, I don't know these people, but Snoop Dogg, whoever this is, but anyway, he brought forth some kind of musical video, and in this video, he's portraying himself firing a toy gun at a clown that was called Ronald Klump. And somehow the clown had a strong resemblance to our president, Donald Trump. And I'll tell you what, the word assassination is something that they're just boldly talking about. Another actor, Johnny Depp, well, he was in England, he was saying, and these are just recent events, he was talking that it was time for an actor again to assassinate a president. I mean, I can't believe the blatant, you know, unholy talk. I mean, people just boldly declaring things that, you know, are unspeakable. But it shows us where the heart is, where the motives are. And I'll tell you what, I believe it is time for us to pray for those that are in charge of this country. Oh, yes, because we would like to live, I'm sure, a peaceable life in this world, if it would be all possible. There are things that could happen. Oh, yes, we could all be carried off in boxcars and put in some concentration camp. I'm sure that could be pending. There are evil men and women in this world who are plotting up such things. But praise the Lord, there is a God who supersedes all of that. And he sees his people, and he knows how much we can bear, and he does make a way for us. And I praise the Lord. But we can pray, we can make our supplications known. We have this privilege of coming before the Almighty One, the One who holds our lives in his hands, who knows end from the beginning, and knows what tomorrow is going to be all about. And we have this privilege of coming before him, laying it all before him. Oh, the wonderful privilege. Oh, yes, he is our great high priest, and he makes intercession for us. But we too are priests unto God, and we can make intercession for the people, for our loved ones. Oh yes, those that we meet and see, those that are the Lord lays upon our heart, and we can cry out for those in dire need. Our whole life can be that time of prayer. We can pray without ceasing. Oh, that prayer that He puts within us, and you know how that He prompts us throughout the day. You know, this one, that one, somebody we maybe hadn't thought of for quite a season, and the Lord puts him or her on our hearts so that we can cry out to the living God, or it might be somebody we don't even know. Oh, I know, yes, dear sister, Port Washington, I know she called and told me about a man, a soldier, and it was in the military, and it was a phone call one day, and it was so unusual. But he was pleading for prayer. She didn't know him. But the Lord somehow made a way so that she could make intercession for that individual, believing he was in great danger, needed the hand of the Lord to bring him out of that. But our God, you never know, you know, we might be in dire straits and have great needs, and maybe there's nobody around us to pray. But I've heard of such times, and I've been in such times as this, where all you can say is, Lord, please put me on the heart of somebody who will pray for me. Lord, please lay me on somebody's heart so they will make intercession for me. Praise the Lord, it happens. Oh yes, and those miracles that come forth, the times that we see the hand of the Lord in new and wonderful ways, because we have that wonderful ability to go before the one that is almighty. We have that ability to go before that throne of grace. Oh yes, to make our needs known before our God and our Savior. Praise the Lord. There's great power in prayer. And I'd like us to go to Acts, the 12th chapter here for a season. This example has been on my heart here, and it's just a little bit after Pentecost. The early church has just, you know, it's just getting into in way here and beginning its work. But also, it was quite early on that persecution began to break out among the Christians. And it tells us here in Acts, the 12th chapter, the very first verse, that now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And it tells us he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword, one of the apostles. He killed him with a sword, and he saw that it pleased the Jews, and I guess he was obviously trying to be friendly with the Jews. He also took Peter. He proceeded further to take Peter also. And it was the time of the Passover. Then were the days of unleavened bread, it tells us. And so verse 4 tells us, and when he had apprehended him, or arrested him, and speaking of Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. So here it tells us, Peter therefore was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So here is Peter. He hasn't done a thing wrong. But because, you know, the Jews hated the Christians, they hated Jesus, now they hate the apostles, and they had already taken James, the brother of John, and killed him with a sword. And so now they have Peter, and you know, they're thinking they're going to end Peter's life. And here he is, he's in prison, and there's four quaternions of soldiers. There's two that, you know, are right there with him. He's in chains. And there's two at the door guarding. And all during the night, the watches would change. There's four watches during the night, and at each watch, they would put another set of soldiers to guard this man, Peter, as if he was some dangerous criminal. And it was their intention after Easter, that Easter was actually a heathen festivity, and after Ishtar and all of this, and a festival that Herod kept, also near the time of the Passover. But anyway, time of the spring equinox, that sort of thing, you were intending to bring Peter out. But again, as verse 5 tells us, here's Peter, and you know, the possibility is very great that they're going to kill him. In fact, that's what they were all thinking. They've already taken James, and I suppose all the apostles at this point probably felt like, you know, who'd be next? Probably questioned within themselves, wondering, you know, who they would take next. But they were doing something. Oh, yes. Something very powerful. Something that we all can do. The church had gathered together in homes, I would think, for the most part, if not all together. They were praying for Peter. It says without ceasing, without stopping, they were praying for Peter that the Lord might work. And God does. Oh, the most amazing thing begins to happen. We see how mighty our God is, how wonderful he is. And it tells us in verse 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. No chance of escape, is there? His hands are bound with chains. Maybe his feet likewise. And, you know, there's keepers before the door keeping the prison and soldiers between him. But our Almighty God, oh, tells us how he allowed the angel of the Lord to come upon him. Verse 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And you can imagine how dark that prison must have been. Oh, yes, it wasn't times like we're living in now. Oh, there was no electricity. I doubt there was a candle. Oh, but the Lord came into that room where Peter was bound, and you could see it. The light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side in order to wake him up. Here's Peter, you know, they're going to go get him in the morning, but he's sleeping. He's obviously at peace, thinking, oh, it's all going to be all well. I'm going to go home and see the Lord, perhaps, but, you know, it's going to be well. But God had plans for him. Oh, yes, that light shined in the prison. That angel came and smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And those chains that were binding his hands, they fell off from his hands just like that. They fell off. And the angel said unto him in verse 8, gird thyself. In other words, clothe thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And then the angel saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. I believe he's talking about the outer garment that perhaps he was using as a blanket even to cast around about him and to follow him. And so it tells us in verse 9, and he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw vision. He didn't even realize it was reality. He thought he was seeing a vision, but you know, and so here it is. He's put his garments on, his sandals on, and he's following the angel. He doesn't understand, he just that it's true. But he thinks he's seeing a vision. So it tells us when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. So here it is, the angel leading him through one ward where all the guards were, and then a second ward, and then out to the place where the iron gate was that led into the city. And it just opens up. All of his one, of his own accord, just opens up just like that. And Peter is just, going forth with the angel and passing on through, and then he's out on the street. And then the angel left. And all at once, Peter begins to realize, hey, this isn't a vision. This is reality. God has sent his angel to deliver me, just as God sent his angel to deliver Daniel from the lion's den. Here, Peter has been delivered from the prison. And so it tells us in verse 11, and when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And so it tells us, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. He came to him where to go. He realized, that, wow, here I am, I'm out in the street, and, pondering where to go. It came to him to go to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. And sure enough, that's where many had gathered together to pray. And then it's really something. He's knocking on the door of the gate there at that house in verse 13. And a damsel, a young girl, came to hearken. And her name is Rhoda. And it tells us, and when she knew Peter's voice, she opened up the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Now remember, these people are praying for him. They're praying without ceasing. And now it's happened. God has heard their prayers and answered them. Rhoda just, I guess it didn't dawn on her to open up the gate and let him in. But, she just wanted, Peter's out there. Peter's released. Peter's here. And she's so excited and, so happy. But they can't believe it. They've been praying for this miracle and they can't believe it. And he said unto her in verse 15, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. It is so, it is so. And they said, it's his angel. It's his angel. It can't be true, They've been praying for her, this miracle. But yet when it happened, they could hardly believe it. But Peter, he continued knocking. And finally, they came and they opened the door. And they saw him, and it tells us, verse 16, they were astonished. They were amazed. God had answered their prayer, all that prayer that they were making without ceasing. And I'll tell you what, there are times when we need to gather together and pray without ceasing. Oh, yes, for the needs, for the petitions, for the need of the hour. We do live in very serious moments. Oh yes, and we need intervention from the Lord. We need miracles. We need to see our loved ones saved. Yes, we need answers. Oh, there are circumstances in lives that need to be changed. Sometimes it's healings that need to be brought forth. Oh, it is time for us to gather together and believe the Lord and pray and cry out like never before. And here is Peter in verse 17. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. And it's kind of amazing. There was no small stir among the soldiers. You can imagine their concern when they realized their prisoner was gone, for that would almost for certain mean that their lives were at stake. And sure enough, when they were examined, the keepers, that is, that they were commanded that they should be put to death. But Peter went down from Judea, and he went to Caesarea, and there he abode, there he stayed. But it's interesting, the rest of this chapter talks about Herod, who was having some kind of dispute with those that were of Tyre and Sidon there on the coast. And they had come to him all together, one accord, it says, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain, their friend, they desired peace. So they come to negotiate with Herod because their country was nourished by the king's country. So he obviously has some jurisdiction over Tyre and Sidon at this time. So they came to him for, you know, the purpose of peace. And it tells us there was a set day in verse 21 when Herod was, he was clothed, he was arrayed in his royal apparel, and sat upon his throne, and he made some kind of oration, some kind of speech unto the people. And the people gave a shout, saying, "It is the voice of a God and not of a man." And I'll tell you what, there are some things that God does not tolerate. There are some things that God cannot bear. It tells us in verse 23, immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. His spirit left him. But praise the Lord continued to move. But the word of God grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. And possibly he was the author of the book of Mark. But here it is. It is so important to always give God the glory. Oh, we could do nothing of ourselves. We are so hopeless and helpless without God. But we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. But we never want to take the glory that belongs to God and claim it for ourselves. That's what Herod did. And oh, God was highly displeased with that. He should not have accepted their praise and acclamations, declaring that his speech was the voice of a God and not of a man. Oh, yes, that did not please God. But he was smitten. He was smitten of the Lord because he had not given God the glory. His body was eaten of worms and he soon gave up the ghost. That's how seriously God took that sort of thing. But God is mindful of his people. And if we could go to Daniel, the second chapter, I have another story that I want to bring out. A time when his people were in dire need, heavy straits, in a situation that seemed hopeless. And here it tells us, of course, we know that Daniel was taken captive. He was a Hebrew, and he was a captive in the land of Babylon. And, you know, he was being used as well as the other Hebrew children that are mentioned in this book, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They were all taken captive and carried off into Babylon. And it tells us in chapter 2, it was during the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar dreamed a dream. And when he awakened from it, his spirit was troubled, and he couldn't sleep after that, it tells us in verse 1. And so he's got to have some answer. He's got to have, you know, somebody to tell him what he dreamt. So he commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers, the sorcerers and the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dreams. So they came and they stood before the king. And so, you know, he tells them in verse 3, "I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream." And so the Chaldeans say to the king in Syriac, "O king, live forever, tell thy servants a dream, and we will show thee the interpretation." But, you know, he couldn't do that. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, "The thing is gone from me, If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghole. But if ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. And, you know, oh boy, it's either, you know, either tell me or, you know, it's off with your head. Huh? Well, it's almost worse than that. You're going to be cut in pieces and your house will be made a dunghole, it tells us. You know, otherwise, you know, you tell me the dream and I'll reward you wonderfully. But, you know, otherwise, oh well, there was, you know, terrible consequences. And they answered again in verse 7 and said, let the king tell his servant the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that you would gain the time, because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof. And you know, the Chaldeans, they had never heard of, you know, somebody having to tell somebody what they dreamt. So they explain in verse 10, the Chaldeans answered him, he's getting, you know, they must be, oh boy, pretty troubled by now. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. Oh, I'll tell you what, he didn't react very well to their explanation. You know, he did think of them as just, you know, unable to tell him what his dream was. He's requiring it of him, even though to them it seems impossible. It says, for this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And now it is, the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah were included in that group. And so they are made to understand the decree that came forth. And they saw Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Now Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. It was about to happen. But here's Daniel, not knowing what all was going on and hadn't really been asked to come before the king and make an explanation. But he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is this decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. And praise the Lord, Daniel knew his God. It tells us in verse 16 that Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. It tells us in verse 17, then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So I'm sure they were down there on their knees beseeching Almighty God for this thing that seemed impossible. Oh yes, their lives were on the line, and if they didn't come up with the answer, they didn't have this revelation of what the dream was, then it was off with their heads, so to speak. They would be slain, as well as the wise men of Babylon, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, the astrologers, and all of them, those that were esteemed to be wise. But praise the Lord heard them. Oh, such a need such a dire thing they were in, but God heard them. He shared it with his fellows, those Hebrews that loved the Lord and served him. And it says in verse 19, then was a secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Oh, praise the Lord. God showed him what the king's dream had been, the thing that seemed impossible to all the others. God showed it unto Daniel. And praise the Lord, here's Daniel in the night, the heart full of thankfulness. It says, then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Oh, that's the God that we serve. Oh, it's our God who is in control in spite of all the aims of wicked men and women. Oh, our God is the one that we must revere and esteem and worship, the one that changeth the times and the seasons, the God that removeth kings. Oh, just as we just read in the 12th chapter of Acts, how he removed Herod when Herod refused to give him the glory. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Well, I don't care what they might be saying or plotting. Oh, yes, how they might not understand. There is a God in heaven who can change the course of history, who can change the events in our own lives. Oh, yes. Who can make a monkey out of them who think they are in charge and control the lives of men and women. Oh, there is a God in heaven. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Daniel was praising our God. He said in verse 23, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hath given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Praise the Lord. Daniel was able to go on to Arioch and tell him that he could interpret, he could declare the king's dream unto Nebuchadnezzar. And he was brought in haste before the king. Arioch introduced him and brought him in haste before the king, saying that he had found a man of the captains of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. And praise the Lord. The king answered in verse 26 and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. And he was able to explain to the king precisely what his dream had been. And I know we serve a God who has not changed. Oh yes, he is in control of this world, and he's able to direct our goings about. Oh, he knows what's in the making. He knows how to carry us off, if it be like Elijah, as we studied him there last week, and know how God kept him away from the plans, the desires of Ahab and Jezebel, though they sought for him in every country that they could think of, and made them take an oath that he was not there. But God hid Elijah. Oh yes, that secret place of the Most High. God knows how to hide his people. He knows how to make a way for us, even though, you know, it might seem nigh unto impossible. Oh, but then we live and serve a God who's able to reveal secrets and make it known to us the things that are unknown to everybody else. And praise the Lord, that's just what God did to Daniel, so that their lives might be spared. And this miracle was wrought. Praise the Lord, that vision was declared before Nebuchadnezzar. Praise the Lord. But the power that is in prayer, oh, there's wonderful power. If only people would pray and not faint. If only we would have faith and go forward and believe the Lord, even though the circumstances seem to be completely against us. Oh, I know it could be a cancer that somebody is fighting, that the doctors have declared to be impossible to cure. But yet we know we have a God that can do all things. And it's not too hard for him to cure the things that seem impossible with man. In fact, I think our God has great pleasure in doing the things that are declared impossible with man. Oh, he knows how to make himself known. Well, praise the Lord. I remember a story from years ago. A woman, I believe she was a pastor's wife, and she had cancer. It was, you know, it was a great lump on her head, and she actually felt the Lord directing her not to go back to the doctors, for if she did, she would die, but rather to put her faith in the Lord. And one day, she was brushing her hair, and that whole cancerous lump just fell out. That's the kind of God we serve, a God that knows how to do those things that we will bring before him. Oh yes, those petitions that we make before him. Oh yes, our God is mighty. Our God can do all things. I remember years ago, my dad had been hospitalized, and you know, there's a lot of water around his heart. His legs had been swollen, and you know, it looked like he was in dire need of healing. And, you know, we didn't get to see him until a day or so after he was released from the hospital. I still remember, you know, coming to the house and seeing my dad, and you know, he's breathing heavily like that. And I just felt so burdened, you know. It was in his early 80s, and I wasn't ready to let go of my daddy. I remember that night I spent it praying to Almighty God, and just pouring out my heart to the Lord. I thank God, you know, the next morning, Daddy was breathing way better. Daddy was talking like normal. And, you know, all I know is there was a God that had heard the cries of his child, and he had intervened, and there was my dad. He lived several years after that, and he never had those problems again. The Lord took care of it. The Lord healed my dad. I thank God. We never know when we bring our needs before the Lord what he might do and how he might answer it. It might not be precisely the way we would think he would do it, or he's greater than our minds in the way we think. But praise the Lord, he knows how to do the things that seem impossible with man. Oh, praise the Lord. We went to Matthew 21 last week, and I'm going to go there again. Praise the Lord. He tells us in Matthew, the 21st chapter, if we look at verse 18, it states that, "Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered." And of course, this is talking about Jesus. He's going back into the city, and he's hungry. Verse 19 says, "And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away." At the word rebuke of Jesus Christ, it withered away. It was gone. "And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is a fig tree withered away?" And Jesus is using this for an example. He tells us in verse 21, "Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also, if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Oh, how positive it is. Faith in God is positive. And he is telling us here that no matter what the mountain is in our life, oh yes, if we will ask in prayer, believing that we can receive the answers that we need. Oh, if individuals would only pray and not faint and not give up and not go to despair and you don't think that it was never going to be answered. Oh yes, if people would only retain that consistent faith to go before the Lord, though it be time and time again sometimes. Our God knows how to answer. Our God knows how to intervene. Again, as he told us in Luke 18, when he told that parable about that unjust judge and that woman, that widow woman that went before him again and again and again and again, "Avenge me of my adversary, judge. Avenge me of my adversary, judge. Avenge me of my adversary, judge." And you know, she kept on and she didn't give up. And praise the Lord, that unjust judge, though he didn't fear man or he didn't fear God, he was going to avenge her of her adversary because she wearied him by her continual coming to him again and again and again and again. Jesus was using this for an example to teach us that we always ought to pray and not to faint, not to give up, not to go to despair, not to run away, but to keep praying and believing God, knowing that he has the answers, that he has the authority, that he has the power to change those things that need to be changed. And the Lord said in verse 6, "Hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Well, I don't know. Seems like we don't hear enough of miracles. It seems like, oh yes, there's too many things that go unanswered. But our God hasn't changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, and what he did in years gone before us, he can do yet today. Those things that he did while he was on earth, yes, he can do them yet today. Those things that he did for Daniel, the Hebrew children, he could do for us today. Oh, yes. Luke 11, verse 9. Jesus said, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Oh, the positive results of coming before the Lord in faith, doubting nothing, believing that he is the same, the one that can open the prison doors and release that prisoner, though he be held with chains, and though the guards are standing over him, though they intend to bring him out the next day and kill him. Yet our God is able to intervene, do the things that seem to be impossible with man. Oh, yes, that's the God that we serve. The wonder of it all, this wonderful God. Oh, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive, as it tells us in Matthew, the 21st chapter, verse 22. So, indeed, it is a privilege that we have to go before the Lord. Oh, yes, we don't have to repeat somebody else's prayer. No, it's a simple petition that comes from our heart, a heart-to-heart talk with God, bring it before his throne, knowing that he cares, knowing that he knows how to answer and intervene in our lives. Oh, yes, and change the things that need to be changed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we are no exceptions here tonight. Oh, yes, we all have needs. But our God is faithful. And he knows how to open the doors that seem to be closed. Oh, yes, he knows how to bring down the mountains that seem so tall and impossible to climb. Oh, yes, God knows how to make a way for his children. Praise the Lord. There's power in prayer. Oh, yes, as we talk to the Creator of the universe, the Mighty One, who holds this world in his hands, who knows how to change the course of events for the sake of his servants. Praise the Lord, just as he did for Daniel. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's believe the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you again that we can come before thee again and again. And again, knowing that there's nothing too hard for you. There's great power in prayer. Oh God, and you have taught us to pray and not to faint. Oh Lord, you've given us a format. Oh Lord, for prayer. And oh Lord, we can bring our petitions, our needs before thee, Lord, knowing that thou carest. Knowing that thou knowest how to change the things that seem impossible. Lord, and I pray, oh Lord, that you give us, oh Lord, need, oh Lord, that you would bring us to thy throne, Lord. Oh God, that you would give us that ability to persevere, Lord, to come before you until the answers come, Lord, to believe you in faith. Oh God, not doubting, oh God, but believing, Lord, that thou carest and knowest how to answer every petition and need that we bring before thee in faith as thy children. Thank you, Lord, and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This wonderful word of God that's written that we might apply it. Not to be forgetful hearers, but to apply the things that he has written in this book. For all those promises of God are yea and amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise our God. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we sang this one last week, I think, but we're going to sing it again. Number 95 in a chorus book. Hallelujah. He's an answering God. Number 95.